I'm Aaron Winiwski. I'm the pastor here, and things are going to be a little different today, different even from what I thought they were going to be on Thursday when we printed the programs. So I'm not going to be doing the teaching this morning. We are taking a hiatus from our series, Levi's Gospel. And if you're here visiting, just to explain, you know, like why do we have jeans up on the stage? We're going through the book of Matthew. Matthew, who was called before people started calling him Matthew regularly, his name was Levi, and he wrote a gospel, an account of Jesus, and it's a gospel that tells us that Jesus came for everyone. So that's Levi's gospel is what we're calling that that series. You don't have to wear fancy pants for this one. During this hiatus from Levi's gospel, we have an extra special treat. We first met our guest, Dr. Kyle Lance Martin. I know you probably hate that. Yeah. I hate it when they interview me in the paper and they insist on calling me Reverend. And I also think it's a little bit weird when people laugh when I say that too. So thank you for laughing. Many of us first saw Kyle when we went through a series like 2 years ago about the parable of the seeds and the sower and the scattering of the seeds, and we saw videos of Kyle doing some training on personal evangelism. Now, in the last few months, we've seen him interacting with people in our own community and loving them, listening to their stories, discerning whether or not they'd be open to hearing more about who Christ is, and then responding to what he discerns and training us through that, leading us through that. Kyle is here at New Day this morning, and I want us to give him a very warm New Day welcome. Come on up, Kyle. You don't mind if I call you Kyle, do you?
No, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Take it away.
God bless you. You know, the joke is, yes, I am a doctor, but the real sad joke is I have four kids, and I was on an airplane, true story, and somebody was having some serious health issues, and they said, is there a doctor on the plane? And my daughter, who is 8, goes, don't you dare raise your hand, Dad. You can't save them. It's true. I don't have any medical abilities as far as helping people, but I love to pray for them. And I looked at my daughter. I said, I'll pray for them. She goes, not now, Dad. You know, it's just, I don't know how that works, but, you know, it really is an honor and a pleasure. I want to encourage you guys with something. Your Pastor Aaron and Stephen, Christy Bussey, from afar for a while, but then Steve in particular for a while. I got to meet Steve through his brother, Pastor Rob Bussey, in the Twin Cities, and some of you know this story. But the reason I say that is that, you know, after we were here a week ago, we spent a week of 7 days of silence. And I'll tell you, the whole silence thing, super hard. Like, I don't know if anybody else is wired like this, but I'm from originally Northern Indiana. And in Northern Indiana, everybody's doers. Everybody's a hard worker. If you're telling me to sit down and not do anything, I feel so unproductive. Any Wisconsin folks think that? Okay, thank you for admitting that. And you raised your hands. They told me you weren't going to raise your hands today. Good job. Praise the Lord. It's okay. My encouragement is this, is that I just really believe that Steve and his wife and Pastor Aaron, they really hear from the Lord. And I really believe that with time, God really wants to use this congregation to impact this community. Weston, Schofield, Wausau, I could just because it's fun, Nutterville and Texas and big little Chicago, whatever. But I say that because I prayed through this week. The reason your bulletins are different is I just asked the Lord, Lord, who can I just come in and encourage on a Sunday morning that I feel like already gets it? I don't want to come here for a week to be away from my family, to spin my wheels and pour into something if this congregation doesn't want to do that. Does that make sense? So the fact that your pastor is humble enough, your leadership is humble enough to say, you know what, let's just change things, says to me, this is why I already sensed that. So I just want to honor you guys in that regards. It says a lot, and when you do this for 10 years and you travel the United States and you work with churches, Literally, one of the largest churches I've ever worked with was a church of 36,000 people. Gateway Church, they have 6 different campuses, one of the most internationally known pastors, everything you can think of. And like, I love working with folks, and this is not a knock against them, so that's not what I'm saying. It's refreshing to work with people that are just like, let's just, you know what, we're going to sound this out, but we're going to do this. And so I'm really excited. We just flew in last night from Dallas, just so you have a visual. We're 4 hours from all the storms. I do have some friends that are in that area of the Houston area. Everybody is safe. It's kind of crazy, though, how that storm is just kind of brewing. Okay, anybody watching the news at all? Like, it's all it is on the news. It's just brewing. It's a weird illustration, but I'm going to use this for us today a little bit. I actually think that's what the Lord's starting to do here. You know, normally a storm comes in, it cleans house, and then you just have all this debris. What's happening with now, you know, it's not a hurricane anymore, but Harvey? Harvey, right? I took care of a dog, and the dog's name was Harley, so I get this confused. I've been pet sitting, right? But what I think is interesting, it's stirring, and actually, as it's stirring, it's actually more dangerous than what it was when it came in. That makes sense? It's this. It's not moving, but why not? What is going on? And that's what I think could actually start happening with Revive Wisconsin. You know, we went away for a week to ask the Lord to be quiet, but now here we are, and everybody's kind of like, how long are you going to be here for? I talked to my kids on FaceTime this morning. I have zero idea how long we're supposed to be here for. We came, our team came, over 50 folks came from all over the United States. How do you pack if you don't have a clue for how long you're supposed to stay? So I always have a standard, 10 days I pack. That's not a scriptural thing. That's not a Holy Spirit thing. It's just practical. Like, here's my 10 items of clothing, and if I stay longer, then maybe you won't remember I wore those clothes the week before. Right? Amen? And so I tell you this because this is my life right now. And what I want to encourage you, each one of you guys, is are we at that place where it really doesn't matter what you bring or how long he's asking you to do it? The question is will you do it? What I'd like to do is I'd like to pray, and we're going to dig into the Word today. And before I do, I love the feel here. I go into businesses, and I share the gospel in big factories sometimes, and there's just no peace. Have you ever been in an environment, you're like, something feels weird, something feels off? You know, it's called discernment, just so you know, it's from the Holy Spirit. You're discerning something isn't feeling right. As soon as I drove onto campus here, like, it was like, wow, there's a presence here that's just peaceful. Then I actually came in here, I told Pastor Aaron, I've had an opportunity to speak a couple times at the Billy Graham Training Center, the Cove in Asheville. Has anybody ever been there before? It totally, this place right here in this room reminds me exactly of the Cove. This stage, the atmosphere, actually this pulpit, the pulpit there is a little bit bigger. And then actually your chairs. And I just want to encourage you, like, God is using you, and there's a peace here. And my prayer is as we leave today, you have that same peace. And so, Father, I just say thank you for this morning. Thanks for the folks here that are just saying, you know what, God, we're in. We don't know what this looks like, but I feel like, Holy Spirit, something is stirring and brewing, even in New Day. And God, we want to put a thought to what this could look like, but God, we don't know. And so we're just going to say, will you show us? How can we be a part of this stirring? In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to go to Luke 14, if you would. Specifically, we're going to go to verse 25. But before we do, I want to encourage you guys with the work that the Lord did through you, the other congregations. We estimated about 22, 23 churches participated in the first week. Out of that, honestly, maybe half actually participated. Okay, what you'll find with me is I'm super realistic, but I am such a person of faith. It's a weird combination. It drives my wife nuts. My wife's like, how do you do this? You believe that God's going to do this, but then you walk it out practically and you say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. It's a weird tension, but I want to paint a picture of kind of what the Lord did. Just out of curiosity, how many participated in any form or fashion of Revive Wisconsin? Meals, prayer time, going out. Okay, here's my prayer by the end of the day. I'm just going to tell you, every person at the end of this week will have raised their hand. You're like, well, I'm not listening to this guy. It's all right, hang on. Remember I prayed, okay? We served in 1 week over 18 meals, okay? This was a week ago. Over 18 meals. That's a lot of meals. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. 459 teams went out, sometime of teams of three or four, okay, that comprise of almost over 1,800 individuals, okay? 38 people came to know the Lord. The reason we do this is so that people can get introduced to Jesus. This isn't a program. Revive Wisconsin, if you label us as like, oh, these guys are event guys, they're this, they have the green t-shirts. Like, if you view us as that, I promise you, it won't work. If you view this as a launching pad, like you can do this in your own life, in your own environment, I promise you, this will work. We did 13 baptisms. Like, to me, and they're all in a truck. Did anybody see the truck? The mobile baptism truck? I think today, I could be wrong, Christian Assembly, the church where we're going to be meeting in the evenings, they actually asked for the truck today. I think they're supposed to be doing like 10 or 15 baptisms today. It's kind of funny when they use a truck to do baptisms, right? Why do I do all those statistics? I don't do that for any reason except that God has already come into this community through you, and he's done something. Tangibly, it's hit Wausau. It's hit Weston. And now for a week, we just sat on it. We said, God, what are you doing? Now, here's what I want to do through Luke 14, if you would, in verse 25. It says, now great crowds were traveling with him. I'm in Luke 14, verse 25. Now, a large crowd was following him. It says, this is cool to me. Do you know why there's a large crowd? Because right before this, he's talking about the big banquet. All of a sudden, he's saying, hey, invite everybody into the banquet. And so what you have is this great invitation of saying, hey, who would like to come to know Christ? So this is the reality, is that he's making a simple introduction. Fine, people aren't responding, go find somebody else. And so you have this invitation. So now people are starting to like this message. Is anybody bold enough here? Does anybody know John 3:16 by heart? Anybody know it by heart? Okay, Miss Tammy, I just got your name. Can you stand up and recite it? Okay, look. Did you say Jesus? Okay, here we go. All right, this is good. All right, here we go. Awesome. Amen. Amen. You're like, I'm glad he didn't call on me. Well, here's why I say this. Because at the invitation, everything is about believing in Jesus. John 3:16, to those who believe in me. But now Jesus is going to do a radical shift. And if I could just apply it to the Christian church, he wants to make a radical shift to this church. You guys, it's not just about believing in Jesus. It's about following him. Okay, I'm going to say this again because in the American church, trust me, I worked with a church of 12,000, an all-black church, okay? But so many of us get comfortable in, I believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, in Wausau, Weston, everybody says they believe in Jesus. If you haven't figured that out, if you go out and talk, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But it's hard to find people who want to follow him. Revive Wisconsin, it's really, we think it's an evangelistic mentality or a method to get people out. You want to know really what it is, bottom line, why there's pushback from the local church? Because we're asking you to do more than what you've always done. We're asking you to do more than just believing. We're saying, no, now we want you to follow Jesus. And you know what that means? It means it's hard. It's really hard because following Christ, I can't tell you with an antidote or a formula of exactly what this is going to look like. But when we stay in the camp of believing in Jesus, that's safe, you guys. Now look, I'm not talking an issue of salvation. I believe with all my heart that it's the death, burial, and resurrection. When you believe in Christ, you're saved. Amen? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the issue of salvation. I'm talking about, yeah, but am I really following him? And if we're not careful in the American church, we tend to believe but not follow. And there's this really interesting tension that's going on in the Wausau community. We're actually being challenged to saying, do I really want to follow him or am I okay with where I've been? Does that make sense? That's why there's a tension constantly, because Christ is always calling out. He says, I want more from you. And in Luke 14, if you go back, he says this. He's looking at this crowd. The banquet's just been talked about. And he just says this, he says, if anybody comes to me, I love this, if anybody. And he begins to spell out something before I even say what he says. I want to recite just as a couple quotes. Salvation is free, but discipleship is costly. Revive Wisconsin is exhausting. Didn't get any amens to that one. It is. It's exhausting. People are like, how do you keep up the schedule? Can I just tell you this? You don't have to show up for the entire day. You can come for prayer time. You can come for a breakfast. You can come for a lunch. You can just come for a portion. But the challenge is will we live a costly life? Do we follow Christ? I had this weird shift. I studied under a guy who wrote some stuff about discipleship. And he radically challenged me. He said, Kyle, I see you believe in Christ, but what are you doing to make disciples? What are you doing to follow Christ? I want to read some other random quotes. Again, none of this is from me, but I love this one. You ready? This comes from a professor that I used to have at Dallas Seminary, and he said, salvation guarantees heaven. Okay? Amen. But it also calls for complete commitment to Jesus, not to secure heaven, but to express gratitude for heaven. You catch that? If I'm sitting there, I would be like, can you just say that again? I totally missed that. Hang on, one more time. I'm saying all of these quotes because I want you to understand my heart in the verse that we're going. I woke up this morning, you guys, and God said, you talk to New Day specifically about count the cost. And you know what I said? I don't want to. I said, I want to talk about it this whole week. And he goes, no, you need to talk about it this morning. Count the cost is not a fun message. And it's not even applying that you're not doing it. I just think we need a reminder to keep doing this. So I want to read this quote again. Just maybe put yourself in a position where you can hear. For 7 days, we did an hour of silence. I've never done that in my life. I fell asleep half the time. Anybody else? Anybody snore? Thank you for your honesty. But when you put yourself in a position to listen, we just listen. Listen to this quote here. Salvation guarantees heaven. I'm not questioning that. But it also calls for complete commitment to Jesus. Not to secure heaven, but to express gratitude for heaven. As you walk out as a follower of Christ, you're expressing all that he's done for me. To me, that's what I long for in the church in Wisconsin. I long for us to express the gratitude where people see you have a heart of thanksgiving and they want what you have. When is the last time somebody came up to you and says, man, I noticed that you're different. I noticed that you must follow somebody different. I mean, when's the last time the church has been accused of saying like, oh yeah, the point is we should reflect Christ. And Jesus sets the table the bar really high. So when we read verses like this, you're like, eh, let's keep reading. But in Luke 14, please, let's go to verse 26. He says this, if anybody comes to me, if you come to me, I'll read it up here, I'm sorry. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Man, this is drastic. Your father and your mother, my parents own an Ace Hardware in Indiana. I graduated with a business degree in small town Middlebury. 90% of the RVs in the country are made in my hometown. My brother calls me and he says, oh, Kyle, by the way, would you like to come and help run the family business? He had already written me a 4-page letter. And now my brother is saying, could you come and work with me at Ace? Look, I love people that are in the business community. I think actually you have an incredible impact. But I had to say no to what was comfortable for me. I wept on the phone for an hour with my brother, my best friend, because I had to tell him, no, I can't do this because God's called me to something else. I think if we're not careful, we go back to the comfortable rather than what he's calling us. That's my life. He says, are you willing to give up everything, your father and your mother, the Ace Hardwares, whatever it is for your life, your wife and children, you guys, I laid in bed this morning counting the cost because I left my kids. They had the first week of school, 4 kids, 12, 10, 8, and 5. My daughter just got braces. Poor child. My kids are ruthless with her. Oh, brace face, right? They call her everything, right? She just tried out for volleyball. She's supposed to find out tomorrow. Like, to me, I want to be a part of that stuff. I want to be right there with my kids. And so what we've done in America is that we've elevated our family over Jesus. Now, you can push back, but all I know is in Scripture it says, yeah, but are you willing to give up anything? We're not talking about being irresponsible. We're not talking about divorce. We're not talking about not taking care of our family. He's just saying, where's your priority? This is me. This is what I am processing. Can you go back to the other verse, if you don't mind? Thanks. And he says, your brothers and your sisters, yes, even your own, and then you can go, your own life. What are you willing to give up in your own life? Otherwise, you cannot. This is crazy. You cannot be my disciple. This qualification, I think at times, would just tell me I'm not qualified. I'm not here to say that to you guys. I'm here to encourage you guys. He wants us to not just stay in the believing camp. He wants us to follow him. And this week in Wausau and Weston and Schofield, just what if that stirring that took place last week pushed us and elevated us into radically following Christ? That's why I'm here. I'm willing not to point out, hey, look at me. I'm willing to walk away from my family for a season. Lila, who's from Tupelo, walks away from her husband for a season. Susan, whose husband's a cop in Tupelo, Mississippi, walks away. Ray, whose wife, he walks away from. Justin, his family. Hallie, her family. Like, this is not looking at us. But at some point, you have to recognize, what will you give up for the sake of Christ? In the American church, we've played too much of like, this is what I will give up, and this is no way, I'm not giving that up. You guys, we're just talking about Jesus. At the back of the auditorium here, there's a table out there that has schedules. Tammy, the only reason I called on you to read is because I know your name. Okay? But Tammy was just, I was just told by Pastor Aaron, Thursday and Friday you're taking off on work to go out. Is that still true since we've talked right now? Okay. Like, you guys, that's hard. I don't know if you're getting paid or not, but it's still hard to say, I'm going to take a day off to do this. That's what we're talking about. Like, we want you to create a lifestyle. We're not the answer. We just want to help encourage you. Like, this can be normal in your life. Well, I have, and I'm serious, okay? Like, I have a kid's birthday party I need to go to. Or, you know, maybe this time, maybe we're going to do something just totally different. We've got to break the norm is what we're after with Revive Wisconsin. How many would raise your hand and say, we need a move of God in America? Would anybody admit that? Okay, let's break it down. How many would say we need one in Wisconsin? Okay, how does that happen? I think he gives us the answer. Don't wait for somebody else to do this. He wants us to do this. And I'm just going to tell you, the reason that people at times don't like me is that this message is, it's true. But don't mess with my life, Kyle. I like it. I'm telling you guys, this congregation could tangibly lead the charge. I just sense humility in this group. I sense a genuineness. And you're like, how do you know? Because in the scriptures, it talks about people have certain gifts, the gift of discernment. There's a genuineness here that says, I will do this. I am in. Mark 10:45 is you guys. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Now, if we take this and follow this model, what would it look like? And I'm going to tell you, in my own life in Dallas-Fort Worth, we worked with 355 churches for 50 days straight. That's exhausting, by the way. You have 7 million people. The radius of driving, it took me 45 minutes at times just to get to like another community because it's so massive. Out of the 355, okay, I will say it was about 194,000 churches, 194,000 people. Does that make sense? Within the 355? We estimated that 3.5% were willing to go out and share. Out of 194,000. Can I just tell you why what we've seen in Dallas, not necessarily here, is that people don't want to radically follow Christ. And I am praying, Lord, give me one community that believes God can use us. I think he can use you guys. In fact, I believe it with all of my heart. And Scripture just says, just make sure as you do this. Can we go back to Luke 14, if you would? Luke 14, and go to verse 28. I'm not going to teach you the whole passage, so don't worry. This is my last illustration with this. Luke 14, verse 28, I believe, Heidi. But don't begin until you count the cost. So I can get you all, hey, this is fun. This is exciting. Praise the Lord. Yes, don't do this because of me. Scripture says if you really want to follow Christ, you really want to do a life change. Because I actually believe this could help start a life change in your life. I believe that, or I wouldn't be here. Scripture says, but before you do this, make sure you actually count the cost of what this is going to look like. So you're like, hey, I want to talk about Christ in DC Everest High School, or middle school, or at Wausau East, or Wausau West. I think I got them all. Did I get them all? Close enough. Thanks. If I'm going to go start talking about Jesus in high school, I have to be willing to say, you know what? I might get made fun of by my friends. I talked about Christ in Indiana basketball. It was the last year that we ever had one class. You guys remember the movie Hoosiers? In 97 in Indiana, we were the last class system, just single class. So like we had all the big cities fall. That was our town. Our town was that little Indiana town. But I was known as the guy who followed Christ. This is going to sound really weird to you, and you're like, well, that's not really a big deal. I used to have kids mock me, and in the snow, Wisconsin, you can connect to this, they'd write, I love Jesus on the snow in front of my house, and then just cross it off. To you, that might not be a big deal, but in high school, if your peers, if they start mocking you because of who you are in Christ, you have to say, what will I stand for? Will I really count the cost if I lose friends? Like, this is the counting the cost. You might not get sleep sometimes. Amen? That was like five amens, maybe. Fabricated, it was really two, probably. Here's my point. Paul just says, right, in 2 Timothy 3, he lists all of these sufferings, 24 different sufferings, and at times he says, as you advance the kingdom of God, you're not going to get sleep, but you have to count the cost. Am I willing to do this for Christ? We don't see persecution in America, so we're not really pushed. But my prayer is, this is a simple, simple prayer. God, allow New Day Christian Church, and this is how I've been praying for the last 2 days, specifically, is that you guys would, God, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to count the cost, because when I count the cost, I'm all in. That makes sense? It sounds simple, but who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if, Scripture continues, if you can keep going with me, if there's enough money to finish it. Look, we're going to meet with the pastors at 5 today. And after a week of silence and praying, we're just going to say, guys, how long, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Kim of Bethany Baptist or Christian Assembly or Highland, how long should we stay here? And if whatever time frame we say, you know what I'm going to say? Just as a pre-warning. Okay, if we say 5 days, we need to be able to back up the whole thing, and we're going to do it with everything we got. If we say 10 days, we're going to say, you know what, we're all in. We're going to do the meals, we're going to jump in, and our laborers are going to jump in with us. What if your pastors don't say this as like a word of encouragement for the future, okay? But like, what if they say 6 weeks? Some of you are like, well, you can't stay in my house that long. But here's why I say that. That's what I'm talking about, counting the cost. Like, this is practical now. Now we're saying, hey, the rubber meets the road. Will you really do this and run with us for 6 weeks? In Indiana, we made a shift from 1 week to 7 weeks total. And you know what it did? It went from 450 people that first week to 10,000 at the end of 7 weeks. In a community just like Wausau. It wasn't a Dallas-Fort Worth. It wasn't a Seattle. It wasn't a Minneapolis-St. Paul. It was a small community that was hungry, but the question was, at that time, will we count the cost? So that's my prayer, is that the leadership, the folks would say, whatever it is, and honestly, it doesn't matter to me what the time frame is, but whatever we do, that we're all in. I'm excited. I'm actually reserved right now. I'm telling you guys, when you understand counting the cost, there one commentator says there's a transfer of ownership. Do you know what I mean by that? Somebody help me. What do I mean by that? When you count the cost, there's a transfer of ownership. Any thoughts, interactive here? Anybody want to try? Yeah. Amen. What was your first name? Thank you. It's good. What else? When you think of transfer of ownership in New Day Christian Church, what does that look like to you? You're right. I want to hear some more, though. What else do you think? Anybody bold enough? Tammy, I know your name. What? Yeah, you're responsible for it. Who else? Yeah. Luke 9:23. If you'd go there on your scripture, in line with what you're saying. Not necessarily about the car, but you get the point. Luke 9:23, it says this: if anybody wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. The ownership all of a sudden says, it's no longer about me, but Jesus, what do you want me to do? And if we're not careful, the American church, we stay in the belief camp, which is a good camp. You're saved, praise the Lord. I just think He has so much more for you. I think He wants so much more in each one of your lives. But the only way, and people say this to me all the time, it's the weirdest comment that people say to me: Kyle, I don't get to experience God like you. And I want to say this in humility, and I would just say, just start following Him then. When you start following Christ, I promise you, He'll start using you in ways you're like, I can't imagine He used me like this as a stay-at-home mom. Absolutely. I can't believe He used me as a Sunday school teacher. Absolutely. A mechanic. Praise the Lord. There's a car dealership. This is really fun to me. No, it's an auto mechanic place, the Lightning Place. You guys ever seen the big lightning bolt in Wausau? Yeah, that's really obvious, right? What's it called? Lightning Lube? Yeah. The guy that owns it, his name's Jerry. He's going to invite us to come and share the gospel with his employees this week. You know why? He's ready to count the cost. Somebody in this room, I don't know, you have a place of business. You work at a place of business. Invite us to come and let us walk with you and share the gospel this week. Why? Because you're willing to count the cost. There's a nursing home. I don't know which one. There's like 80 residents there. And then they have 12 staff. Does that ring a bell to anybody? We've been invited to come in and pray and share the gospel with all of the residents and all their staff. You know why? Somebody in this community said, I'm counting the cost. It actually has nothing to do with us. We just walk alongside you now that you're starting to do this more and more in a way that you're bold. What would it look like this week if you just started doing this? Now, some of you are super nervous. Just come and watch. You don't have to say anything, right? Steve, they can just watch, right?
Just watch, yeah.
And then eventually what happens? You start speaking.
I was listening on the radio this morning. You guys know the song, I Have Decided?
I don't even know if that's what it's called. But I have decided to follow Jesus. And then it goes on, the cross is before me. Anybody else know what else it says right after that? The world behind me. Revive Wisconsin, my prayer for New Day Christian Church is that this becomes our model this week. The cross is before me. I'm willing to follow Christ. The world, all of the things that are tying me down, we're done with.
Because when that happens, I am utterly convinced, like we might see a move of God.
We're not there. We're not labeled as a revival level number 4 like hurricane. I don't even know if we're labeled a tropical storm revival here. Well, we got a rainfall in Wausau. I don't know. I just know it's possible.
And I hope you hear my heart. I love you guys. You're like, well, you don't know me, but I do. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in you. And sometime this week, I'm going to ask that you would respond and follow him in a way that makes you uncomfortable. Tonight at 6:30, we're going to be at Christian Assembly. They're labeled as the charismatics in the city. Relax. It'll still make you uncomfortable. We'll do it in order. We'll do it with biblical structure. Would you agree? Yeah. It'll be okay. Because I want to see a group of believers that will follow him so that we can see this city turned upside down. There's going to be a schedule back there where Steve will be back there and some of our Time to Revive team. And look, it's really straightforward. It's kind of funny. We put a schedule together for a whole week. We don't even know if we're going to be asked for a week. I'm just saying. They could say, hey, it was great having you for one night. See ya. Beat it. They could say that. But out of obedience, I came. And my prayer is that of obedience, you'd come as well. Follow him to the point where you're willing to give up your life. I want to close in prayer, but before I do, I freely admit, for most of us, this is how I grew up. I grew up in a very small-town mentality. It's not a negative thing. Conservative mentality, it's not a negative thing. I was a licensed minister with the Church of the Brethren. It's not a negative thing. But there was no way on earth you were going to get me to go talk to somebody about Jesus. No way. In my mind, I could hear you, but there is no way. I'm asking you to transfer ownership. You're saying it's no longer about what you think, it's about what Christ wants you to do. And when you do that, there's freedom. And so, Father, I just pray for this crew right here. This body of believers. God, I don't know if everybody in this room knows you. And so, Father, I just pray, first of all, if somebody is in this room that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they don't have hope and they're tired of spinning their wheels, they're tired of functioning in the flesh, that they would just cry out, I need you, Jesus. I need to be saved from this junk in my life. And God, if there's somebody here, I'm just going to ask, Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts. God, if there's somebody in this room that they say, I know Jesus, but they're like, I'm not really following him. I'm existing. God, I pray that you would stir in their heart a passion to live like you, to follow you. And Holy Spirit, just begin to speak to them like the shepherd speaks to his sheep. God, would you bless this group and use this group? I pray, God, with all of my heart that you would use this group to advance the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.